Our sermon text this morning is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to Genesis 2, verse 4. Genesis 1, 1 to 2, 4. Now hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens and ordained praise from the mouths of infants to silence the enemy. When we consider the works of your fingers, what are we that you are mindful of us? You have crowned us with glory and honor in your Son to rule over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under our feet. O Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Speak to us now in your word and give us understanding that we may rule over your creation with love and faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we begin a 6-sermon series on the topics of missions, evangelism, and outreach. Now, these topics have been a continued discussion on the session for the last year and many of our conversations in the body. As the people of God, we rejoice in the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And we desire for others to know him as Lord and Savior and to worship him with his people. Now, this sermon series will not be an exhaustive treatment of the topics, nor will it be a step-by-step how-to bring the gospel to those outside the church. We are privileged to have the inspired word of God, to hear from it, to learn from it. But God does not always speak in clear-cut do's and don'ts. He does do that, but that's not always how he reveals his truth to his people. His desire is for us as children to grow in wisdom. And to grow in wisdom, we grow by searching the scriptures, learning what they say, meditating on them, and applying them. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to search it out. The righteous meditate on God's law day and night. And the hope here with this sermon series is for us as the body to study the word, to grow in maturity, and to discern how the Spirit is leading this body, this local church, this church family, how we can do missions, evangelism, and outreach. And that's not to say that we're not already doing it, but as the people of God, as the disciples of Jesus Christ, our desire is to grow, to find new ways to glorify our God in these matters. So these sermons aim to lay a foundation. What are we doing in missions, evangelism, and outreach? Why are we doing it? And through the Spirit's leading, how do we do it? How can we do it? How can each of us within this body participate in the church's ministry to the people outside the church? So we begin this morning, this series, by going back to the beginning. Genesis 1 is a great chapter to learn about God, to learn about his creation, and to learn how does he work in his creation. There's much more in Genesis 1 than God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Though that is true. There's a lot more there for us to search out. In Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. The creation was formless, empty, and dark. God addressed all three in that creation week. The first day, he provided form by separating. He responded to the darkness by creating light. The second day, form, he separated the waters below from the waters above. And the third day, he provided form by separating the waters from the dry land. The next 3 days, God addressed the emptiness. He filled. He filled the skies with light. He filled those waters with sea creatures. And the waters above with birds. And then he filled the dry land with land animals. And with man to multiply, to spread out, and to subdue the earth he created. Now, in the creation week, there was no sin in the world. And God was working. Each day of the creation week was perfect. But each day, God brought change. God brought each perfect day to greater and greater perfection. Each successive day was perfecter than the previous. God transfigured creation each day from glory to glory. And on the sixth day, the culmination of his creation work, God created the most glorious aspect of creation. He made man in his image. The triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, made human beings in his image. The Trinity made him in his likeness. Male and female, he made them. God created human beings to reflect him to creation, to live and move according to his will. And in that creation week, God gave man a pattern for how to live and how to work. And brothers and sisters, yes, there was work before the fall. God worked over the course of 6 days. And then he rested on the seventh day. Man was to image God in working for 6 days and resting on the seventh. The Sabbath day rest was the finality of the work week. After 6 days of labor, you rest. But God, in his divine and perfect favor, created man at rest. He created man on the sixth day. Boys and girls, which day was man's first full day? It's the seventh day. Man began life at rest. Perfect rest from which man would start. Now, moving forward from Genesis 1, God revealed his work in history. He started working in creation, making things better and better, transfiguring them from glory unto glory. Each day was better. And the culmination, the finality of the work of creation is complete rest in God. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." That's eternal rest. Creation week is not only a pattern for our week. Creation week is a pattern for history. For we are moving toward eternal rest. God is bringing history forward, making things better and better. History is not timeless. We're not just spinning around in a circle waiting for Jesus to come back. History is always looking forward, moving forward to the glorious, perfect rest when all the work is done. That's how we ought to view history. Where are we starting in history? In the beginning, in creation. Where are we going? Perfect and total rest. Where does all our work lead to? Eternal rest with Almighty God. Brothers and sisters, we need to be wise people of God. We need to be lovers of history, learning from history. What has God done in the past? How has He made history better and better and better? We need to have a big picture view of creation and history. How has He transfigured the world? How has He transfigured history from glory to glory? Genesis 1 provides a structure to the week and to history. And this God revealed before the fall. No sin yet in that first week. But we know there's sin in the world. We strive against sin. We're working against the effects of sin in creation. So how does sin change things? How does sin change things for humans, for creation? How does sin change things for history? Well, it definitely makes things harder. But it doesn't change the revelation. Doesn't change what God has given us, His people. Sin or not, God is graciously making things better. Continuing in Revelation 21, He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Remember, in the creation week, God improved upon the previous day. Glory to glory. But to get to the next day, creation had to go through darkness. There was evening, then morning. Darkness, then light. Now, before the fall, darkness was not sinful, but it was not ideal. Light is better than darkness. God saw the light and He judged the light as good. But each day to get to the next had to go through darkness. Had to go through a death of darkness. And next morning, the new day was a resurrection of light. Boys and girls, when you open your eyes in the morning, do you rejoice in God's tender mercies, which are new every morning? Do you open your eyes and say, "Praise God, another day of light, another day of life? This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Each new day is a resurrection for us. In the creation week, each evening was to get to something better. Light came in the morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Something more glorious today than the day before. How does history move? Because of sin, hard stuff happens in history. bad stuff has happened in history. Wicked stuff has happened in history. Life and creation are no longer perfect. What's glorious about that? God brings the world. God brings humanity. God brings you through darkness. And afterwards, he brings light. He's always transfiguring creation into something better. Sin, wickedness, does not eliminate the mandates. Man was to multiply, man was to fill, man was to subdue creation before the fall. He did not remove it after the fall. God's plan for creation is for human beings to spread throughout, praising him, enjoying him, perfect fellowship with God. God all and in all. Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We're still headed in that direction. That's still the finality of where we're going. So as the people of God, we know where we've started in the beginning. We know where we'll end up. This is like going to the store and you buy a jigsaw puzzle and you see the picture of the finished product on the cover. Maybe you've purchased a model airplane. You know what the airplane's supposed to look like when you put it together. We know the finished product. We know to where we're headed. But in the meantime, we're in the middle of it. And we are participating in the assembling of the final product. Now, brothers and sisters, we know we're part of the process of getting there, even if we're not always conscious of it. But we have to remember, again, big picture. This is a big puzzle God's putting together, a big assembly. Because we worship and serve a big God who's writing a big story for his big creation. And we need to be thankful to be part of it, to be part of that assembly, to be part of the writing of that story. It's amazing that the infinite and perfect God of the universe is even mindful of us, that he considers us. The creator of the universe brought us into being, and though we've sinned against him, he redeems us and desires to commune with us. You know your sin. You know your thoughts. You know the sins in your heart. I know mine. And despite that, our God redeems us from that. He sets us free from it. And he uses us to carry out his will on earth. Can you even fathom? Why me? Why us? You've heard it said, God draws straight with crooked lines. We praise the Lord that he is perfect, but he's not a perfectionist. This story he's writing is pretty glorious. We're constantly surprised at what he's doing. in history and in our time. How can he use wars to write his glorious story? How can he use tragedies like this last week to write his story? How can he use fallible people to bring his kingdom to those living in darkness? It ought to blow our minds. But he does it. We are a few weeks removed from celebrating the ascension of the Son to the Father's right hand and the descension of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We rejoice that he who sits on the throne is making all things new, and he's doing it through vessels of his Holy Spirit on earth. If you're not amazed at his choosing you, saving you, desiring to spend eternity with you, marvel at his use of you for the growth of his kingdom. It's a big kingdom. And we're fallible people. Be in awe that the glorious plan of creation from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 includes you and this local church. Go forth with gratitude and faithfulness to do the work he's given to us. And do the work with the big picture in mind. Where are we headed? You heard a couple weeks ago of Father Abram and Yahweh's gospel promise to him. Abram believed God and he counted to him as righteousness. Yahweh had a 500-year plan to bring Abram's descendants to Canaan. What did Abram do? He got to work. Digging wells, building altars. Abram had a long-term plan, and he was laying the foundation, something on which others will build. Abram heard the gospel promise, and this gospel promise was for the whole big world. And he was one man, one family. This gospel promise was that all nations would be blessed through him, through his seed. Well, his seed didn't come around for 25 years. And Jesus, the true seed who would bless the nations, didn't come around for thousands of years. Yet Abram was focused, and he lived according to God's promises. He said, you know, this area doesn't serve Yahweh now. Someday it will. I know, I'll build an altar. Build by faith. Live by faith. Pray by faith. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, an altar for worship. Heaven on earth. Abram was a church planter. And that, brothers and sisters, is gospel confidence. It is kingdom certainty. Like Abram knew, Yahweh would keep his word. We have the word. We know where we're going. We know how the story ends, that glorious conclusion. Can we minister with that confidence in mind? That he's building the heavenly city right now. That the kingdom is advancing through church colonies all over the world. Read history. Read current events with gospel confidence, with kingdom certainty. If a tragedy occurs or a crisis arises, yes, grieve with those who grieve. Minister to those in need. But remember that this event or that problem is part of God's plan. He's using that for something greater. And that something greater might not be something we see in this lifetime. Remember, from darkness he brings light. Evening then morning, death then resurrection. It might not feel like the day in which we live is perfect, or that the next is perfecter, but they're all part of his perfect plan. This hard time today leads ultimately to something better. This thing that's ending, that's hard and sad and tragic, is leading to an even more glorious beginning. For God is still writing history. His story includes all of creation, not just our local communities. We can broaden our perspective of the kingdom outside the borders of the nation where he's placed us. All the nations he created. All the nations that'll be blessed through Abram, through his seed Jesus Christ. And when we go into the communities of Odenville and Moody and Leeds and Asheville and Greater Birmingham, minister with the belief that these communities belong to Jesus. He's purchased them with his blood. And we are discipling them for his sake. We're building on the altar foundation that the Lord has laid down from the beginning. So we build, and we dig, and we plant by his promises. And if we don't see immediate success, it doesn't mean God is not faithful. Because it's all part of his story. You plant seeds that he might take a while to grow. You invite a coworker over for supper, and they keep turning you down. You invite a neighbor to Bible study or to church. They're always busy. Brothers and sisters, play the long game. Play the big game. And if you serve someone, you evangelize them, and they end up at the Baptist church, that's okay. God's story is bigger than our local church. Abram planted more churches. He has more spiritual children than Reformed Presbyterians. Whose storyline are you advancing? So keep serving. Keep plotting. Plant the seeds. Water the seeds. Minister and love for God's big plan. When you've been disciplining the kids all day, and you have to take one more trip to the bathroom with the rod, it doesn't seem to be working. One more diaper to change. One more spill to clean up. One more explanation. Boys and girls, love your neighbor as yourself. Keep plotting. Keep loving. Keep serving. Because we gathered today for worship. And we're going to come back again next Lord's Day. Because Odenville still isn't obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll pray another prayer for abortion to end. We'll sing another imprecatory psalm for the wicked rulers to stop persecuting the church. We're going to serve another meal to the poor. We're going to evangelize another unbeliever. And if the weakness of the flesh says, what's the use? It doesn't seem to be working. Brothers and sisters, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. The nations will be discipled to obey all that Jesus has commanded. The Lord will be faithful to thousands of generations. All that's going to happen. So what's the use? Some days will be successful. Some may not. Evening, then morning. Death to this day. Rise again in the morning to do it all again. We don't do it to be successful. We do it to be faithful, to serve our Creator and Lord. So be confident. Be joyful. Jesus won. Jesus won. We're letting the world know. We know we're not better than anybody else outside this church. We're hungry people too. We just know where to get the bread and some good wine. So in the weeks, months, and years ahead, as a church, we will seek wisdom and the Spirit's leading on how we can be faithful to God to bring His grace to the world. So be in prayer, brothers and sisters. Be in prayer for our church family and how we do that. Because ministry outside the walls of the church might look different. It will look different, local church to local church. So how is the Lord using us, blessing us with opportunities to serve Him? And live in the reality that God has established in creation, and He's using us to carry out for His glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God and merciful Father in heaven, we rejoice in who You are and what You have done. We are grateful for the work of Your Son, Jesus Christ, for His death, resurrection, and ascension to Your right hand. We rest assured that He reigns over the nations. Strengthen and bless us by Your Spirit in our service to You. Protect us from sin, temptation, and harm. Keep us in Your faithfulness. And bless this congregation, this church family, with wisdom and discernment. Provide us with opportunities to bring Your gospel grace to those in our lives and those in our communities. For Jesus' sake, amen.